Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're on the grill. We're getting into, well.
Oh, no.
I'm going to grill you, Cindy. That's what's going on.
Okay? Well, it kind of feels that way so far.
No, we're going to play the beef cut game.
All right.
Okay?
Now we're going to have fun.
I'm going to throw out
mm-hmm.
a beef cut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're going to tell me what you're going to do with it.
Okay.
And then you can throw it back at me, and I'm going to tell you what you should do with it wine-wise.
Absolutely.
So for those people that are going to go to the store and you're going to find a cut of X that looks good to you,
mm-hmm.
she's going to give you a good idea of what to do with it. And I'm going to give you a good idea of what in the world to take out of the salad to drink with it. How about that?
Okay.
And if you don't like
Let's do it.
You can
Let's start grilling.
Blame us entirely. All right. So, we'll start with an easy one. Here's a soft pitch. So, flank steak. You mm-hmm. love flank steak. So, mm-hmm. what are you going to do with it?
Definitely going to, I think, cilantro, red onion, or... You could go pomegranate juice and red onion and cilantro.
This is as
definitely
a,
some
as a
form
marinade?
Of acid. Yeah, I'm definitely going to marinate it. I think you can use a neutral oil, just a basic basic olive oil. Don't go towards extra virgin. It's not necessary with flank steak, and also flank steak's inexpensive. So let's just kind of keep everything on the low cost end, and do this wonderful marinade. Cool thing about flank steak is it cooks very quickly, especially if you want to eat it medium rare. So you can have a relatively hot grill, not too hot, not flaming hot, but say medium heat, medium to medium high heat, and watch your marinade. You're going to have product that's going to burn. Those red onions are going to burn once they hit the grill. So you marinate it, but kind of then, if you will, scrape it off a little bit and then hit it with a little bit of fresh corn oil and pop it on the grill. And that's going to be excellent.
And
slice
so
it on a bias. That's another thing we need to talk about is, you want to always go against the grain of the meat when you're slicing.
So you're going to mark it on both sides pretty well for
mm-hmm.
a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Before you slice it, you're going to rest it off the fire, right?
Absolutely. Rest and then slice it against the grain. And also, with something like that...
Why are you resting that piece of meat?
The blood needs to redistribute back through the piece of meat. So once the juices have kind of moved back through, heat causes the meat to constrict, and you want it to relax, basically. Let's relax the meat before we slice it, and think of it that way. What kind of red wine are we going to drink with that?
It doesn't have much fat, so you don't need that much tannin, and you kind of mm-hmm. have zesty things with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, some crunchy young Rioja an 08 or an 09
mm-hmm.
Crianza from Muga or Sierra Cantabria, one of the old school producers that makes it's medium bodied, good acidity. You serve it a little bit cool, because chances are you're going to. That's flank steak's the kind of thing that goes well with a mostly cold supper, so you have like a potato salad out and arugula salad out or something and that Rioja and a nice piece of cheese and
mm-hmm.
Maybe some Manchego if you want to be thematic about it.
Okay, sounds good. That's
all right.
A good meal. What's next?
Should be. Next up, let's blow the bank. Let's talk about tenderloin.
Okay,
Beef tenderloin. So let's say it's birthday dinner for someone and you love beef tenderloin. And
I
you
do.
Love not just any old beef tenderloin, but you also like Kobe
mm-hmm.
or Snake River Farm tenderloin,
mm-hmm.
the jazzy stuff that cost $8 million a pound.
Right. And I think with that, you need to consider if you are, really breaking the bank and you're doing something like Snake River Farm tender, you need to cook that rare. Please, 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 please cook it rare. That piece of meat deserves that. That's the way it's going to be best. That fat's going to be incredible. The flavor is unbelievable. So let's just, again, you have a medium to medium high heat grill, well oiled down, ready for your meat. You don't need to marinate that. You just, I would literally just rub it with corn oil, salt and pepper, season it well. Make sure it's not too cold when it goes on the grill and grill the whole piece. That's the great thing about a tenderloin. Now, if you can get the filet, that center piece, if you're only cooking for two or four people, you can get the center and that is a brilliant piece of meat.
That's the question that I have for you is with beef tenderloin because you've got, it's an odd shaped muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of almost like a fat, short snake, that's
right.
5 pounds, 7 pounds, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking about the filet mignon, the sort of fatter steaks in the center of that,
mm-hmm.
but you also have pieces towards the end.
Yeah.
What do you want to ask your butcher for?
Again, if you can't get the filet mignon, and any butcher is going to know what you're talking about when you say that, which is the center of the tenderloin, you want the muscle off, the side muscle off. We call it the chain, and there's not a lot of edible meat on the chain. So, I would just make sure that that's not attached, but really, you know, the center is great. Now, remember that tenderloin has almost no fat in it. So one of the things that I used to do back in the day was wrap, if I am, you know, let's say I don't want to roast the tender whole, I want maybe faster cooking time, and I'm going to cut into, or, you know, maybe we're having other pieces of meat, so we're only cutting like 4-ounce pieces of tenderloin, I wrap it in bacon. And you need a piece of string, butcher's twine, and just wrap it in bacon. And that is really delicious, one, if you like the flavor of bacon, and two, it gives it a little inherent smoke because of the bacon, and three, it bastes it while it grills and gives it some fat, which is just a fun way to eat the tenderloin.
So what else do you want to put on the plate with your good old tenderloin with bacon wrapped around it, if you're deft with that string?
Uh-huh. I think that, well, and also don't leave too long of a piece of string on it. It'll catch on fire, so don't do that.
No more flaming torch.
Yeah, yeah. No ignition. No igniting the tenderloin. I think that I love potatoes, so I would probably already have a potato crouton working in the oven, but I would grill some zucchini out of my garden this summer. You know, and again, oh my God, I love grilled zucchini. Just brush it with a good extra virgin olive oil, a little salt and pepper, and then grill that, or maybe some grilled eggplant. All these wonderful things that you are either going to get locally at market or perhaps out of your own garden. And also, beef tenderloin loves tomato. So I might grill some tomatoes. I might do some fried green tomatoes.
You said that beef tenderloin doesn't have much fat, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. do you do a sauce that has a lot of fat? I mean, isn't that one of the more old school things to... Mm-hmm. to do with that sort of
sure.
cut, with a filet mignon?
Sure.
So what sort of a sauce is that?
A mushroom cream sauce with little Madeira in it. You could use button mushrooms or cognac. You could go that direction. That would certainly be delicious.
So let's see. If you're putting bacon with it, wine-wise, what in the world do... See, it's funny. Beef tenderloin, I always think, and people think giant red wines for beef, but that's something that has rich, rich flavor, but it doesn't have that much fat to it.
Mm-hmm.
I always actually think Pinot Noir. I always think that whether it's Pinot Noir from California, because you don't need that much tannin, mm-hmm. but you want really interesting flavor and you want really interesting texture and fine structure, but you don't need that much. You really don't need that much as far as power. So whether it's Pinot from California or Oregon, people seem to be very, very into Willamette Valley Pinot right now, especially the ones from 2008. The vintage is so strong. Mm. Or Pinot from Burgundy, of course.
Yes.
But if it's something that's like simple, grilled, fresh, and a lot of veggies, that's not the time to bring out the 1990 Avon Romane Premier Cru or something that is super crazy complex and secondary flavors. It's really more like juicy young 2008 or 2009, you know, village level, Je Vais Chambertin, Chambon Musigny, something like that.
Sounds good.
That has some guts and a lot of fruit.
Can I have some of that while I'm grilling?
Really, don't you think it's going to knock you off kilter a little bit?
No, not at all.
All right.
Not if I'm outside.
All right. What other favorite beef cuts do you have for grilling?
Oh, well, I think we should talk about porterhouse and T-bone because they're interesting. One is a little bit further
up
the short
loin. Is one better than the other?
No, I don't think. Well, I mean, you know, everything's relative to your own opinion. But I think that the difference between the porterhouse and the T-bone really is the size of the tenderloin piece on the side. So T-bone has a little bit smaller piece of the tender. That's just the nature of where it comes from on the animal. But, you know, one of the things I think I talk about this because I think it's an interesting thing to cook because you have the strip on the one side and the tender on the other. And, you know, those are two different pieces of meat. So it's sort of a challenge to cook a porterhouse or a T-bone really well.
So you build like two different fires? You suspend the one side in the air while the other one cooks?
No, but you might have one side a little bit like if you do have, if it's a charcoal fire, you know, you may want the tenderloin on the side that's a little bit cooler. Or if you have a jet, you know, a gas-fired grill, you might have a little bit cooler side on your grill for your tenderloin side. But, you just want to consider that when you're grilling it because it is two different structures and muscle structures. Obviously, the tenderloin's extremely tender, and the strip is a little bit more structure to it. So, marinade, I would say again something very simple. You don't need acid there. You certainly could, but you don't need it. So, I would probably do extra virgin and maybe some fresh rosemary or thyme or something, or even those two from the garden. I think that's good. A little salt and pepper, and then You know, I think for accompaniment, I would definitely do chimichurri on there. And, you know, with chimichurri.
Chimichurri, the Argentine, sauce.
Mm-hmm. I worked for a chef from Argentina when I was in Charleston. And I this is something that I have done ever since I knew Marcelo. And chimichurri can be made different ways. It can be from dried herbs or fresh herbs. It can have tomato in it. It actually does not traditionally have fresh tomato in it, but that's how my chef made it. And he also used raspberry vinegar, which was not traditional. But, you know, fresh parsley, thyme, basil, a little bit of garlic, shallot, a good extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper, and then you can make your choice. Do you want lemon or lime juice in it? Do you want, you know, you can go that way. And the tomato is so great in there. A little fresh tomato from your garden again, or local tomato this summer, once we hit mid-July or so, and chop that fresh, add it to your relish at the end, and, you know, a nice bit of that on top of that T-bone or porterhouse right before serving it is absolutely delicious.
Well, that's, and you talk about it as a marinade too. So you would use the same sauce as a marinated and as
you could absolutely
and as finishing.
Absolutely.
That's I always have this image in the, you know, in of the pampas of the, you know, the cowboys with the mm-hmm. giant haunch of beef up on on a spit and with like a paintbrush mm-hmm. and brushing it with chimichurri while it roasted up on that spit over a fire.
One of my favorite things that ever happened when I worked in Charleston with Marcelo was we went out onto one of the islands and had a party for all. He had a party for all of the people that worked for him, and he went out there at like 6 o'clock in the morning, got the fire started, and had a very flat grill, very traditional Argentine way of cooking, big open surface, and he roasted a whole pig out there, and we made 5 gallons of chimichurri, and he put that in the cavity of the pig, and I mean, cooked that all day long. That was one of the best things I've ever eaten in my life. And I had never seen anybody grill where they had whole chickens on the grill and whole peppers and whole links of pork sausages and, you know, just coils of sausages on the grill. Oh, my gosh. It was just...
Invite everybody and cook the farm party.
Oh, yeah. And then we would have Argentine red wine. So, you know, it was just absolutely phenomenal.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Argentine red wine because you're talking about porterhouses and T-bones and cuts, especially like strip Malbec, you know, which is sort of the prince of the Argentine red wines, or the pride of the Argentine red wines. Malbec is great because of that sort of floral and crunchy and herby and, you know, sweet black fruited character that it has. It's great with steaks like that off the grill and does great with the herby marinades and because of the ripeness that you get down there and sort of the ridiculous sun at the higher altitudes. Mm-hmm. So there's an easy segue on
there
that.
There you go.
One.
Perfect.
All right. So you're talking about that great whole pig on the traditional Argentine mm-hmm. grill. What about maybe three other things that are fantastic to grill, whether it's particular kinds of sausages or chickens or little birds or mm-hmm. lamb cuts or... What are your favorites?
Well, again, if you're talking about, you know, if you can get a great chicken, there are chickens now that are cooled, air-cooled, and just absolutely, you know, can be wonderful. So... you know, we all love barbecue chicken or even just, again, an herb marinade on a chicken. But, you know, move into pork. I mean, there's so many wonderful cuts of pork. You know, the loin is obviously loves to be grilled. Any of those primal cuts, again, it kind of comes back to, and also with pork, you know, a pork chop, a pork loin chop with a bone in, just with the bone, it gives it flavor. With a nice piece of fat cap around it, it gives it flavor. Just watch those flare-ups. What do you like to grill, Tony?
Lamb. That's mm-hmm. you know whether it's done as kebabs or mm-hmm. or you know which is what you often see, which are you know little knuckles of the leg meat usually. Mm-hmm. Lamb leg steak, which has great flavor, but it's definitely one of the trickiest things. I mean, there are what, 5 muscles, 4 muscles?
Yeah,
a lamb leg steak because mm-hmm. it's a cross section. Mm-hmm. So you really have to figure out you're going to have with a lamb leg steak you're going to have 3 different temperatures in the same cut.
Exactly.
When you take it off the grill, and usually. Because of the size of it, you're probably looking at a 12 or 14-ounce piece of meat, mm-hmm. unless it's going to be incredibly skinny. So you're going to aim for the medium range, but just to get the flavor right and to melt off enough of the fat.
And there is so much flavor in a lamb-like
steak.
Exactly.
And you can use,
I think you have to just give up on worrying about how it might be a little bit tough here or there because the flavor is fantastic, and part of it is very tender.
That's your favorite red wine in the world, or red wine from Châteauneuf du Pape, if I recall correctly.
Absolutely.
I think I do.
I think you know that.
and that's exactly, there's so much flavor, and and intensity, and it's almost like its own sauce. I mean, lamb leg steak with very little garnish, you know, with nice vegetables of the season, whether it's like artichokes this time of the year you know, or more of the traditional Provençal vegetables, or ratatouille or something like that on the side of it in the midsummer.
What would you do with the artichokes? How would you cook them?
I probably, honestly, I'd rather have them poached and then cooled, and then grill them, or do them as a raw salad if you get the babies.
I love artichokes on a raw salad. So good. Lots of acid.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Lemon, vinegar, salt. Mm-hmm. You know, chop it very, very small. That's almost like a garnish, and I let that marinate for an hour or two, and. Mm-hmm. That's and great oil.
I love raw button mushrooms in there too. I think those two things together are so good. And maybe a little Reggiano cheese, you know, maybe not for the lamb, but oh my gosh, that would be a great salad. Arugula. Can go on and on.
Cindy's going on the artichokes.
And what else do you like to grill?
Sausages. I'm a total sucker for the great sausages.
The
great different kinds of chorizo you get in Spain, the fresh chorizos that if you have a wood-fired grill, sausage is done on that because the fat content is high, and that fat tends to get a great flavor from the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but chorizo in particular, because it has pimentone, which is that smoked paprika that has a very particular flavor. Those are strong flavors. Mm-hmm. That's definitely something for, you know, if you're doing a mixed grill of a lot of strong vegetables and chorizos and, you know, pork chops or something like that, that's not a giant piece of money to get that done.
Right. Well, and isn't that what's fun about eating that way is, you know, you have a cut of pork, then you have some sausage meat. And again, if you have the chorizo with all that wonderful spice in it, and then you have some grilled poblano peppers and some grilled onions.
And red onions and green tomatoes.
That's fantastic. And
zucchini,
how fun is that? And you can put that on a big platter and, you know, everything's done. You know, you don't even have to turn on the stove.
What's the kind of thing you can just dress it with good extra virgin olive oil and fresh herbs from your garden? And maybe a little lemon juice or a little sprinkle of good wine vinegar.
Absolutely.
And you're done.
That's a good, healthy way to eat, too.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about grilling seafood, all of the most healthful and, honestly, maybe my favorite things to grill in the entire world.
Okay, sounds good.